Okay, this morning we'll be in chapter 13, the chapter about the beasts, plural. Okay, I'll start by reading. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and his great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded unto death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon which gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given to him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy and against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He that kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. And here is the patience and the faith of the saints. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had 2 horns like a lamb, and spoke as a dragon. And he exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and caused the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he does great wonders, so that he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceive them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand and their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark of the, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. And here is wisdom. Let him that has understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Of course, we know there's a few flaws in here. Okay, back to that first verse. And John is saying, I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And they said, what do you think he was seeing here? But not me just telling you. I want you to tell me what you think John saw.
Would it be a beast nature coming up out of humanity?
Well, he said he stood upon the sand. Mm-hmm. That's on the two lower covenants.
Yeah.
Dust and sand.
Right.
And of the sea, which is, that's the lower covenants, is the earthly covenants of humanity. Mm-hmm. He stood upon them. So here's what John saw. John saw duality in his own life. He could see the duality of his own life. That he was standing on something, but he could see something greater. See, religion to that point, even in John's life, you know, came from a culture where the Jewish people were there and they had their religion under the law, didn't they?
Yeah.
But it wasn't the greatest thing. There was something greater than that.
It wasn't rock solid and clear.
Now, he wasn't sold out to it, or he wouldn't have been able to see what he saw.
Discrepancies in everything that he was in his first two realms, it was kind of wishy-washy. Well,
he didn't have enough understanding yet to say this is wrong and this is right, but he's beginning to see it. And that's where we come in our lives. We begin, this is an experience we see in our lives, we begin to see duality in our lives. We, you know, we we want to say we're a Christian, but the Bible don't really call us Christians. It calls us children of God or sons of God. That's another one of the church sayings that they've adapted. But we have to come to a place where we see the duality in what we say and what we do. Because if we're truly sons of God, how should we live?
Like God.
Yeah.
Like God's children, you know, just like Him. So when we do one thing and do the other, it's not that it doesn't make you bad. See, that's the problem. Everybody thinks if I do this and say that, then I'm a bad person. No. God lets that bad come out of you so you can see and you can judge for yourself. Judge yourself. Nobody has a right to judge you. You judge yourself. When this stuff comes out and you can see for yourself, you know what? That wasn't right. I can't tell you you can't do something. I don't have the authority to do that.
You have to see it. So
but I can tell you about things and then you can see it on your own. It's between you and God to work it out. Okay. No condemnation in Christ, is there? So even though I make the mistake, that's a gift of God that you can make a mistake and not be condemned.
So you get to experience both and then think, oh,
that's not my father. That's not like my father, so that's got to go, you know. But you got to make that in your own mind.
Then you got to make the right choices.
There on out. Come on.
Each time, the more you do that, the more you're feeding into the right.
That's right. But he saw that there was something higher. And he saw this beast rise up out of the sea. And these beasts come up out of humanity, okay? Having 7 heads and 10 horns. 7 being perfection, right? And that beast was the Adamic nature, the beast nature, as it's referred to in scriptures. And out of the sea of humanity. And had 7 heads, okay? What's 7 speak? Complete. Or it could be perfection, but it's the complete picture. It's got the right amount of heads there. And 10 horns. What's 10 speak of?
Being a law.
Law. And the horns speak of authority. So we're speaking of the law of authority. Okay? And upon his horns, 10 crowns. Crowns speak of royalty. Indeed, in that natural mind, didn't Adam say that he wanted to sit on the sides of the north, like to be like the Most High God?
That's a ruler.
That's the nature of humanity. They want to be the one in the center of attention. They want to be on that throne. They want to be those people with all the attention given to them. But it ain't gonna work. You know, no one's going to take it away from God, but they think they can in their own mind. They're delusions where they think they can.
So those crowns on this, the beast nature is ruling.
They think in their royalty. They're better than everybody else because they're more powerful in the flesh realm.
Okay.
And it says upon his heads, should be in his head, not heads plural, but in his head, the name or what? What's name?
Anoma.
Yeah, Anoma, the name is nature and authority of what? Blasphemy, right?
Yeah.
What's somebody?
Huh? Yeah. It was the nature of blasphemy, or blasphemy towards God, is what the language really says. They leave part of it out. Towards God, okay?
So that ruler, that beast nature trying to rule inside of us is directly opposed to God.
Absolutely.
It says other places in the book, but it's just real. Your own beast nature inside of you is directly opposed to God.
It's where you're trying to impose your will instead of his will.
Yeah.
That's all.
My way is right, and I don't care.
And his name is Yahweh, not your way.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
He ain't going to win. So. But they don't see that yet, and that's okay.
Okay.
And it says, verse 2, and the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. What's the main characteristic of a leopard?
Spot.
Doesn't it say someplace about you come in without spot or wrinkle?
Yep.
That's the way he presents his people back to his father. Without spots or wrinkles.
Blemishes. Yeah.
Right. And of course, you know, the church will say, well, that's sin. Well, you can call it what you want to, but how can you have sin when there's no law? So you can't violate a law that there isn't no law.
Isn't that beast nature? It's like a big spot or a blemish on your character.
Well, sure, the law is a blemish, you know, mm-hmm. because of the way they interpret it. The law was good, but it's the way they interpreted it, just like the church, the way they interpret things.
It becomes a have to, a duty, rather than it's a promise that you won't want to do that, right?
Yep. And his feet were as the feet of a bear. Bear is very cruel, strong, but his feet. So this beast had the lifestyle of what? Not of a bear, but of a cruel, evil, wicked lifestyle. And Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart of man is desperately wicked and evil above all things. That kind of narrows it down to what's the most evil thing, don't it? That's the heart of humanity, the unregenerated humanity, the ones that don't know anything about the change. They think they can go cry on an altar and slobber and snot on the board and change, but it didn't do it. And he said his mouth was the mouth of a lion, you know, always overdriving, always overrunning, trying to be the center of attention all the time. They're right and everybody else is wrong. That's the nature of the lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat, his place place of recognition, and his great authority. Okay? He gave it all to him. Now, if you remember, and I don't remember the passage now, I can't pull it out. I think it's right in this passage right here. Oh my goodness. We're not done yet, are we? But anyway, he says power was given to the beast. Okay. Power was given to the beast to overcome the saints. How many of them want to hear that?
Yeah.
Hey, but now, was that to overcome your spirit or your flesh?
Flesh.
Absolutely.
So it's doing away with the beast nature instead
by
of the saints.
The beast nature is actually attacking itself.
Killing itself. And that is not comfortable at all.
Oh, I know.
To go through that. Now, let's see what it said. The dragon had power.
Gave him power, his power. And his seat and his authority. He gave it to the dragon gave it to the beast.
Now, so what is the dragon here? Is that just a beast?
The dragon represents, and that's another name for Satan, the devil, okay?
Yeah.
And those are all, we know that they're all synonymous names to the mind. Okay. It can be so confusing, and some people want to swear, well, the devil's this, and the devil's that, and the dragon's something else.
That's why I'm nitpicking.
Yeah, that's all right. No problem.
Because if not, it's
confusing.
You've got
to
make it simple so you don't know your death.
Right.
So this dragon is the mind.
Yeah. You see, even like the lion, Jesus was called the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, correct?
Yes.
And didn't say the devil, as a roaring lion, walks around seeking whom he may devour?
So you're positive and negative to both of them, right?
Sure. Sure, you have to read the context of what you're saying to get the meaning of it.
See which way
it goes.
Which way, fork in the road you need to look at.
And he says, and I saw one of the heads as it were wounded to death. Okay. Remember in Genesis when God spoke to Adam and said, Adam, if you eat of this tree, you shall surely die. Mm-hmm. That was a sword that killed the beast's head. And what did he do later? And he did live by that same word, because God spoke reconciliation, spoke life right back into him. He killed his flesh, but he didn't kill his spirit, did he? Because that was part of God himself. And his deadly wound was healed by that same sword that killed him. the word of God. And all the world wondered or marveled after the beast. They thought he was so great because he was still there. And they worshiped. And they, oh God, I just seen something there jumped out at me. I'm going to leave that alone until I figure that one out. I just saw something. I'm not going to run off on that one.
Go ahead.
No, I ain't going to run off. It's on tape.
What makes a difference?
I'm just not going to do it right now until I'm sure what I saw. Make sure I can verify it.
There's something there. I can't drag
okay.
It right now.
And verse 4, and they worshiped the dragon. The dragon is the beast itself, the carnal mind, which gave power to the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Let me read something to you. Isaiah 14.
Isaiah 14?
Yeah. This is that passage I was talking about a while ago. I'm going to start in 13. Because you've said in your heart, I will ascend unto heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of its clouds, and I will be like the Most High God. I will be like the Most High God, is what he's saying. Yet you should be brought down to this hell, to the sides of the pit. Okay. That's all tied right in here. Who is able to make war with him? God don't have to make war with anybody, does he? He took care of that. But the world thinks that. They think in terms of who's the strongest and fiercest.
That would be like Jacob wrestling all night.
Time he's in ignorance, they're going to wrestle. As soon as they see who they're wrestling with when the day starts.
It's just like, this is stupid.
There you go. Straighten up. Verse 5 goes on and says, and it was given to him the mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And 42 months is what?
3.5 years.
3.5 years. It's also that time of ministry.
Yes.
Okay, but there's one other thing here. What's this thing tell you? Power was given to him to continue how long? He only had authority for a certain, a limited period of time. He was limited where he could do, what he could do. Only 42 months.
So during time of
ministry, that's all he had. He could only do it. The conflict can only come in the time that ministry to that God is dealing with us is the only time he can deal with us. Once God straightens it up, it's over and he can't mess with us. It's over with.
It's not a literal 3.5 years.
No.
It's that time of ministry.
But whatever time that he's ministering.
Whatever time it takes to process that.
To get us processed through, then that's it. He can't do anything. And like what it says, he as a roaring lion, he walks around seeking whom he may desire. Why did he say seeking whom he may devour? There's some he can't. The ones that were chosen before the foundation of the world. It says in Ephesians, we were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. He can't touch the ones. How many times did Jesus say, it's not yet my time? You see what I'm saying? There's people that can't be touched because God won't let them. They can do everything like they told Job. He told the devil, you can do anything you want to, but you can't
touch his life.
Can't take his life. You can try him all you want to, but you can't take his life. So you can laugh at him. Can't take your life because he said so. When I said that a while ago about John saw his duality, okay? He saw in himself a mistaken identity, I believe. He thought he was something, but there was something beyond that that he hadn't seen before. Got his attention.
Incomplete.
He had an incomplete picture. but also this is us.
Yeah.
We have to realize we have to come to this place too, where we see that everything we've did in the past, I don't care how many people you helped, how many churches you built, how much money you gave, that doesn't mean anything. But have you seen your own duality? That is, like Paul said, I counted everything what?
It's done.
A bunch of crap.
Mm-hmm.
It's not important.
It's worthless.
It's worthless. See? And when you can see that everything I... That's worthless. That was only to get me in the condition that I'm in today. When I can see that what's going on in my life back there was only done and let those negative things happen to get my attention so I could see my own flaws, my own weaknesses, my own false identities that I had created in my own mind. So I can see them. And if I can see that they're false, what am I going to do with them?
Kick them out.
So this 3.5 years,
mm-hmm.
that's like a time of God's processing.
Sure.
Processing the...
And it's not literal, it's just a time.
Yeah.
Well, if you think about it...
He's processing this culminates or kind of work out of this, right?
Well, say it this way, he's processing the Christ in us, and the rest of it's just like the dross floating away. You know, coming to surface and blowing away.
Two things can occupy the same space at the same time, right?
It's got to go. And as your mind opens up to see more and more of who you truly are in Christ, then the things that are not of God has no place.
Well, so it's cleaning up our mind.
Mm-hmm. Remember what he said? Who said it? Here comes the devil and he has no place in me. It's in a new covenant, but I don't remember where it's at. Can't pick it up right now.
Yeah, I think it says it differently in the King James. Yeah. As well as
but basically it says, here comes the devil and he has no place in me or no part of me, you know. So that's part of growing into maturity when you realize, hey, got no effect on me. No effect. Period.
Mm-hmm.
In verse 6 he goes and said, and he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name. Okay, when it says to blaspheme against God, against his name, his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven, that word name is nature. Of course, the tabernacle is a prefigure in distinctly or to discreetly or to disclose partially, like a shadow, those that live in heaven. But to blaspheme is to take away something, to defame God, his nature, or his saints.
Wouldn't that be whenever you hear a voice in your head that defames you and you accept it?
It absolutely. That is the one that's the most deadly one there is. Mm-hmm. What you hear in your own head. What somebody else says out there don't have anything to do with you, does it?
Unless you choose to
believe it. Take it in.
Unless you choose to swallow that thing. Mm-hmm. But the ones you hear in here condemning you, there's the ones that's dangerous. Mm-hmm. Because it sounds familiar to you.
So the carnal mind is...
There's the verse I was looking for. Next verse.
The carnal mind is...
I knew it was there. I couldn't see it a while ago. When I said, it was given unto him to make war with the saints. Okay? It was given to him to make war with the saints. God gave him the power to war with us. In that war, in that battle we're having, and it's all an internal battle. And if we understand that God gave him the power to overcome us, the power was given to him over all kindreds, tongues, and nations. See, even the saints are going to be warred with, to be overcome. Is that everything or is that just flesh? It's just your flesh. See, most people don't realize. They think that this thing called devil, and they want to see it as a personality, which is untrue, but they want to see it that way. Even if it is, do you realize he's employed by God?
No, you employed him.
No, God employed him to work on his behalf to dress us down, to get us. He said he was given power, and the only one to give power is God. God has all power. He gave him power to dress us down to get our attention. so we can understand what we're doing is wrong. If I can't make a mistake, can I ever decide what's right and wrong? We have to have the liberty to make mistakes. And all them that dwell on the earth shall worship him. Notice what it said. All that dwell upon the earth. But there's a word that's not put in there that should be there. Permanently. All that dwell permanently. Not the ones that are called mature sons, but the ones in the Passover and Pentecostal realms, the dust and the sand realms. Where are they located? They're on the earth. Can the dust and sand ever be anywhere else, anyplace else? No. That's the ones that will be there. Does that mean that they'll never step into the kingdom? No, it does not. It just means they're not getting there now. God's got a first fruit group that has to go through first, and when the first fruits are done, then he can get the rest of them. That's his pattern, not mine. He said, but all that dwell permanently upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of the life of the Lamb, slain or sacrificed from the conception of the cosmos. And so, it's all set up deal. God did this just for you. God loves you so much, he's going to put you in this wine press, and the only thing's coming out is the good stuff. The bad stuff stays in the wine press.
It's just like the ark gets stained, the path was destroyed.
In the flood.
Yeah.
And that's the way it works. If any man have an ear, let him hear. Do you think he's talking about the natural ear?
No.
If you got an ear to hear what God's saying, he's telling you, this is you. This whole thing is about you and your identity. You knowing who you are and how you're going to get there. If you don't know how this is happening, why do you think so many people go to church and get started and get fed up and run out? Why do you think they do that?
They're looking for the answers, but they're not getting.
They're not getting any answers, and they're frustrated, and everything they're telling them is exactly opposite of what the truth is.
Yeah, their spirit's rebelling because they know it's not working.
Well, it's not doing any good. Why sit here and beat yourself up? Go on out and enjoy it until you die, if that's all you got. Yeah. That's, I hear that a lot, and it's the truth. I mean, if you can't give me something, or if I can't give you some truth that can help you understand that what's going on is not the devil fighting you, but it's God purifying you and refining you, then you can say, oh, okay, I can understand that. Now, if this is God doing it, then why, who am I to fight it? But when you realize, when you think what the church is telling you, anything bad happening, it's the devil, ain't it?
That's what they like to blame it on.
I mean, if the devil did it, he's doing it, hell yeah.
Instead of you fighting yourself.
Yeah, but they're telling you it's the devil. Well, what's the difference, you know?
What sin you got, brother? That's what keeps beating on you.
Yeah. So, and how can there be sin when there's no law to violate? You know, that, they don't understand that because they haven't got the eyes and ears yet. And that's okay. Ain't going to beat them up. Verse 10, he says, if anyone, he says he that in King James, but should say, if anyone leadeth into captivity, they shall go into captivity, shall be led into captivity. If you lead someone in captivity by your words, hello? Talking to the people wanting to preach that don't know what they're talking about. If you lead someone in captivity into the religious system, into Babylon, guess what's going to happen to you? You're going to be caught there too.
So that's the preaching of the doo-doos. Mm-hmm. Don't.
Yeah. Don't do and do-do. And it says, he that kills, and if anyone kills with the sword, with the word of God. This is not meant to kill, is it? Mm-hmm. It's supposed to give life. Okay, so if you use it to kill people, you must be killed with the word of God. And the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. It cuts both ways. It can heal you or it can kill you, depending on how you deal with it. And herein is the patience and the faith of the saints, knowing that they'll reap what they sow. That's basically what he's saying, isn't it? You're going to reap what you sow. And so many people are so quick. When I first started in church, because I had a zeal for God, and you know, anybody when you first started this, you're going to have a zeal. You found there's something better than what you had. And so this is fantastic. And because I had zeal, everybody attached to me in the church system. And they, you know, like it says, the heart seeks the precious life. Someone that has a call, they want to get them in that system as quick as they can, beat them down, hold them under. And they wanted me to preach right away, didn't they? I mean, oh, they're going to have this man going to preach here. This is going to be a preacher, man. They didn't know what I was going to be. They'd all like to kill me now. But didn't take too long of speaking truth that violated their methodical ways, Methodists.
Yeah.
And preacher went out of town. He asked me to fill in for him. And immediately people started coming out of the woodwork. Here's a book you're going to preach this week. You need this. You need this commentary. You need that commentary. And I had a stack about that high. And when I went to minister that weekend, I told him, I said, you know, I meditated a good while this week on what to say. And I said, when I concluded what I was supposed to be ministering on, I said, the witness came in the mailbox. The same verse that I felt inside of me to minister on came in the mailbox from another. Somebody sent something to me on that same subject. Not with the answers, but with just that verse was the main thought of it. Mm-hmm. But not with just a carnal understanding, but I saw it as the witness of it coming to me. And as I began to speak, I said, and study through the week, I kept getting these friends coming to me, Job's friends. And they bring me these books and saying, you need to read this book and you need to read that book.
Do it this way.
If they had all this truth, why in hell weren't they preaching? You know what I mean? So I had all these books stacked up on this pulpit, and everybody in the church, they sit here like this, straight laced, don't move, don't.
Yeah.
No one ever says anything, or then they just listen, you know, or sleep or something, I don't know. Anyway, as I began to minister, I'd pick up a book and I'd say, you know, I'd look at the verse, I'd read a verse, and I'd look at this book and I'd say, nah. And I threw it right down the middle of the aisle, pages. And these are books they thought, you know, Matthew, Henry, and all this stuff, the commentaries, and I'd throw them right down the middle of the aisle. When I got done, there was only one book left.
Word,
the Bible. I said, you know what? I think we'll just use this one today. Oh, man. That was the beginning of the end right there. That was too much. I got too radical. Too radical for me. Yeah, you ain't seen nothing yet. So they didn't last very long there. Verse 11. And I beheld another beast coming out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb and spoke as a dragon. This one's really easy.
That's the Christ.
No. It's a religious beast. Look what he said.
I saw lamb.
Yeah. Well, they say, but look, he had two horns. What's two speak of?
Wow.
Uh-huh. See, he had two authorities. Double-minded man's unstable in all of his ways. That's a religious beast. Coming up out of the earth. What's the earth? Us. And he had two horns. He had dual authority. Double-minded. So just like James 1 and 8 says. Like a lamb. And he spoke as a dragon. See, that's the way the church sees God. He's a lamb, but he speaks like a lion. Or like a dragon, rather. See the contrast in there? It's an oxymoron. How could he be the lamb and speak as the dragon or the devil?
I think it more like he spoke with authority.
No, that's not what it's saying. It's really saying that it's
yeah,
a duality. Yeah, I can see where it could be thought that way, but mm-hmm. It's not what it's saying in the context.
Mine says like a lamb.
Mm-hmm. He acts like a lamb. But when he had a double-minded, that takes us out of the context.
Like
of
a lamb.
Yeah. So. And verse 12, he goes on and says, and he exercises all the power of the first beast, the Adamic beast. Okay? It said before him or in their minds. He exercised all the power that Adam had and caused the earth and them which dwell there permanently to worship the first beast, which is the natural man or self. Correct? The one whose deadly wound was healed. Right? when Jesus died on the cross, said, "Father, forgive them." What do you think that was? That was the sword. The sword killed him in Genesis, and Jesus spoke on the cross the word of God. Right? And he said, "Father, forgive them."
So he lived.
He gave life back to them. So. We're down to 13 right now. Mm-hmm. And he does great wonders so that he makes fire, okay, come down from heaven on the earth, to the earth, in the sight of men. Now men see this stuff going on. And this thing does great wonders, this mind, this beast, the beast nature, so that he makes fire. And what is fire?
Purification.
Sure. So what people see usually as judgment or punishment, they see it in the negative context. Anything as a correction, they see as punishment. And all God is doing is correcting us. And it's a wonderful thing he corrects us. Who wants to live in this same state throughout eternity in a mess? I don't. And anybody that has any understanding wouldn't want to either. We want to be straightened out. And look at verse 14. So that tells you really what side this thing's on. And deceives them which dwell on the earth through the miracles which he had the power to do, which was given the power to do, in the sight or in the mind of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth permanently, they should make an image or an idol. Okay? And so it's their image or their idol. When you say image or idol, what's that really tell you?
It's
image?
False.
It's not reality. It's just an image.
An illusion that you created.
It's an illusion you create in your mind. See, it's not reality.
It's not the truth.
That you should make an image to the beast, or an idol to the beast, which had a wound by the sword and did live. Right? And the sword is what?
The word of God.
In Genesis 2:16-17, that's where he told him, "If you eat of this tree, you shall surely die." Okay? And then in Luke 23:39-40-49, it's where he did live. Okay.
What was that, Luke what?
23:39-49. Okay. And 15 goes on and says, "And he had power," and it really, those words aren't there, it should say, "and he gave life," the word "he had power to," just said he gave life to the image of the beast, in order that the image of the beast both spoke and would cause them, as many as would not worship the image of the beast, should be killed. What happens to people who don't go to church according to religious people?
Go to hell.
They die. Do you think they really care about you? Right there it is, see. We're not talking about, I mean, when we say this, we have to realize we're not talking about the reality of the world here. We're talking about in spiritual things. Mm-hmm. And they don't care if we die. Okay? If we don't do what they say, just go ahead and die. They wouldn't bat an eye at it, would they?
So this like religion,
this religious beast.
Religious beast will get me to hell.
Yeah, there ain't one, but in their mind they think they can put you where it don't exist. But
in the religious or that mind, what you just said, it will damn you to hell because it'll make you crazy inside yourself.
Yeah. But it doesn't really exist in the natural what they think it does, but still they try.
Because you keep giving it power.
Yeah. You're the one that gives it the authority and power. And he caused, read this verse 16, and he caused how many?
All.
Both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their hand, or upon, it's the word on, it's the word epi, it's not an en, it's epi. And it should be on their right hand and on their forehead. Okay? You know, they've had that thing about the chips in her forehead and her hands and all this stuff. That's foolishness. If they ever did it, it has nothing to do with God. That's what man has contrived. And I'm sure they've already got chips in a lot of things now, like dogs and pets and stuff, so you can find them if they're lost. And I'm sure there's people with chips in them.
Sure.
I'm sure there are. They make them chips so small they can put them in with a hypodermic needle. But they can scan them and find it.
We all carry them in our pocket right now.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Willingly.
Yeah. And that no man buy or sell except the one that had the mark or the image, okay? Or the name, and the name is the onoma, the nature of the beast, or the number of his name. And the number of his name, the number of humanity, 6. And here is wisdom. Let him that has understanding, did he say everybody count this?
No.
The one that has understanding, count the number of the beast, because it is the number of what?
Man. This says a man, Bishop.
Cross out the word a, because it's not there. It's an added word. That's an indefinite article. It should, if anything, it should be a definite article. But it's, he's the number of man, and the number, and his number is 666. It didn't say 666. It's 600 60 3 score 606. Of course, they want to render it down because it doesn't really say that. If they want to get literal about it, it says 666. That's 600 606, isn't it?
Yeah.
They want to make it literal. That's not the number we're talking about anyway. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, the number of man is what?
666.
So three. Just three witnesses of it.
It's a witness of humanity.
It's just humanity, right? That's the number of the beast. It's just human. It even says in the Old Testament, man is but a brute beast made to be taken and destroyed. This body is not meant to last. Everybody's supposed to die. True? It's made to be that way. And everybody, somehow, they believe they're going to take this body and run right through eternity with it. Streaking.
I was surveying some cylinders before.